This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hey, this is Arvind Yuvraj. You're listening to Open for Business. And the show today is going to be all about Southern fried chicken and chicken burgers. And that's really all the introduction you need in this case, because we're going to be chatting with the founders of Foul Boys, Johan Razali and Shafiq Saiful Azneh. Now, the guys have a very cool story behind this venture and how it started, because it started during the first MCO, like smack in the middle of the first MCO. But more importantly than that is that food is a tricky business here, especially when it comes to burgers and fried chicken, because I mean, we all know that there are some pretty big players dominating that scene, right? So we will get to all that in a bit, but first, guys, you know, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yes, man, thanks for having us.
Thank you, Arvind.
Good to have you guys on the show. Let's start by talking about some background. You know, how did Foul Boys happen? Like, when did you decide that this was a venture that you really wanted to start working on?
Well, on how it all came about was, Shaq and I have been friends for a few years now, and you know, I've always been the one that's what's like nudging him to try something together. And towards the end of 2019, I just returned from a family trip to Australia. Mm-hmm. And while I was there, I had a chance to have a really simple yet really good fried chicken sandwich. And in that moment was when I realized that as much as fried chicken is a very popular dish in Malaysia, but it's still mainly just on your traditional like Malay style fried chicken, or it's your fast food joints, or rather the Korean fried chickens that made it really popular here. But we didn't see much where people would do a buttermilk fried chicken, which is more southern style. Mm-hmm. And so after I pitched that idea to Shaq, we kind of jumped into the kitchen and we tested a few things, and that's how it came about, to be honest.
Okay. I like that you mentioned that, you know, fried chicken is quite popular here, because, you know, like normally business is always about closing a gap in the market, right? A pain point that you think that you can solve. So a lot of people would say that chicken and burgers are pretty saturated in the market here, but that's not what you guys found.
Yeah, I mean, when we did our initial sort of market research, it wasn't very extensive, but what we saw was that the fried chicken market was really just dominated by your fast food chains and also Korean fried chicken, mm-hmm. right? So yes, it's saturated. There are a lot of players in fried chicken, but we definitely saw a gap there when, you know, we were talking about Southern fried chicken, and also looking at how this Southern style is wildly popular around the world, you know, in Australia, where we got the inspiration, the States, obviously. So we thought that, you know, it was a matter of time that Southern fried chicken would actually become popular in Malaysia too. So we thought we'd get in early, you know, in that sense.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm going to come back to the food itself in a bit, but did you give yourselves like a trial window? Because I've been asking businesses that start from home this question. Did you tell yourselves that you'll give this 6 months or a year or 18 months to see if it works out? And if not, then you need to sort of switch to a backup plan. Was that the case?
Well, to be honest, when we approached this whole thing, we didn't really have a plan B, because it was more of like, hey, you know, let's do this for fun. Mm-hmm. We're both passionate about food. So, you know, when Joe came up to me with the idea, that was like late 2019. We said, okay, let's get this started. So we started R&Ding in my apartment in January 2020. You know, and we just said, okay, let's R&D. And we didn't exactly have a set timeline. So we just kept R&Ding every weekend up until it was like, I think it was March. And we're like, okay, we have perfected the recipe. You know, we had like a informal focus group with our friends, and you know, everyone was like, yeah, this we pay for this. And sure enough, when you know, we were ready to basically go to market, we had plans to actually do pop-ups in March, but then MCO happened, and we're like, you know, now that we're just stuck here, why don't we just operate from home, you know? So we were kind of just going with the flow, to be honest.
Tell me about the R&D that you mentioned, because it sounds like, it honestly sounds like a very delicious R&D phase to have, like the trial and error. Like what goes into R&D when coming up with food and recipes?
Yeah, I'll let Joe take that one, because he's basically in charge of the food part here.
Yeah, for the food part of the R&D, well, the whole process was honestly just getting a base recipe of what a Southern fried chicken sandwich would be like.
Mm-hmm.
And we spent, I guess, weekend after weekends for about 3 months figuring out the right marinade, the right batter for our chicken, right up to the best buns to carry the main, you know, the star of the show, and as well as the condiments. So the entire process was, I would say, started off with the chicken itself, because that's the heart and soul of the sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, we moved to, okay, how do we want to carry said product, which comes to the buns, and then it came to the condiments, and then the sauce. So we did break it down to each of the main components of a fried chicken sandwich.
And what's different about Southern fried chicken compared to the mainly most of the fried chicken that we get here?
Well, two main differences that you'll find in Southern fried chicken, which is number one, the marinade process where they use buttermilk
mm-hmm.
As a tenderizer and as well as coat. But other than that, is as from a Southern standpoint, is the main spices you will find in Southern food is cayenne and paprika. So those were also kind of the basis of how we approach a Southern fried chicken. Yeah.
So I guess the chicken market is huge here, but there's also a market for beef, like cheeseburgers, and even seafood. So any plans to move beyond chicken in the future, or is this your ID?
Well, for Fire Boys in itself, we have made the decision to stay within the chicken realm.
Mm-hmm.
And also why we chose chicken over beef, as much as that is definitely the more popular option in terms of a burger,
mm-hmm.
is because we saw how saturated the market was and currently still is in terms of a beef burger.
Yeah.
So we thought, okay, we want to come into this market with something that is not only sellable, but also something that where we have the opportunity to create something that KL perhaps has not had a chance to experience that much.
Mm-hmm. And I guess with a name like Foul Boys, it just makes more sense to stick with the chicken burgers.
Yeah, that's also a part of the entire brand that we have is when we named ourselves Foul Boys, F-O-W-L is the term for poultry, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's also a play of the word F-O-U-L, foul,
yeah.
You know? So that's, and you can find that in our messaging where we are a bit more cheeky and a bit more fun. So once we came up with that brand idea as well as the product, we realized that it's a better idea to stay niched in the chicken/poultry market than to expand to have other proteins in our menu as well.
Mm-hmm. And your branding is very interesting, which is something that I want to expand on in a bit. But the part that I find very interesting is that you guys started about a year ago, you mentioned smack in the middle of the first MCO. And there are two sort of mindsets here, right? Like some say that's the worst time to start a business and some say it's the best time to start a business. Obviously, you thought that it's a good time to start. So like, why not try and see, right?
Yeah. Honestly, when the MCO hit, I think like exactly what you just said, everybody was kind of split between, oh, I think it's a terrible time for business, and some like ourselves thought it was a great idea. And why we landed on that position of thinking it's a great idea was that, in all honesty, we didn't know what to do in that time because a pandemic like this has never happened to us before.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought, why not try and fix with the mentality to adapt instead of, you know, fearing what it could hold us back from, if that makes any sense.
It does. So it's kind of like, you know, if not now, when, or if not now, yeah. Never kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, we might as well roll the punches, right? This is what, I guess, life has brought upon us in that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And we were already game to start a business together. And we had a product that we've been working on. So we saw an opportunity, which was the delivery market would grow and would saturate, and we thought to insert our stuff in said market.
Right. How did you guys handle sales and delivery back then, though? Because you were a fully virtual kitchen, no restaurant, and in the beginning, you couldn't even get on food delivery platforms, right? Like, you didn't qualify for that.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, even though we were a business from home, we did very much treat it like a proper business. So we actually managed to get our SSM sorted out maybe within the first 2 months of operating from my apartment. But even with that, we didn't meet the criteria to join your normal food platforms like GrabFood or FoodPanda, right? Because they didn't accept businesses that were running from home, let alone, you know, all the other sort of restrictions like, you know, licensing and whatnot from the council. So what we did was we just went a really manual route with the ordering. So basically, I was accepting the orders on WhatsApp. So customers would, there'll be a link on our Instagram basically that will be directed to my WhatsApp. So I'll just be taking orders from there. Mm-hmm. And once orders come in, then I'll schedule a rider. And that was primarily on Grab. So we use Grab Express. And reason for using Grab Express was because the way you can track the order and also rider availability, they were probably the best option at the time. So yeah, we were just running it that way. But also to add on, we were actually just doing pre-orders for the first few months because we weren't equipped to actually take on-demand orders. Mm-hmm. So what we did was we'd open slots every day and, you know, we'd have a limited amount of slots for lunch, limited amount of slots for dinner. Because, you know, we only had, at the start, it was only just two of us. And, you know, once orders picked up, we had to get a few of our friends, one or two friends to come over and actually help us. So, you know, we were limited with our resources.
How did you guys fix that issue, though, the being on food delivery platforms? Like, how did you finally get on those platforms?
Well, it was just a matter of time. So, you know, as our orders were scaling up, we were growing. Then after Raya, we made a decision to actually move to our friend's central kitchen in Segambut. Mm-hmm. So once we were there, we were set up as a proper sort of kitchen. Then we were able to actually sign up with GrabFood and FoodPanda. And we knew that, you know, now having a decent following once we were on those platforms, it's obviously easier to order from those platforms and they're already, there's a readily available audience on those platforms. So we knew that, you know, that step was the natural next step, basically, in order to grow our sales and business.
Okay, so we are already halfway through the show, but there are a ton of questions that I want to get through, including more stuff about your marketing, to be honest. So stick around. I'm speaking to Johan and Shafiq, founders of Foul Boys. We will be back in a bit. BFM 89.9.
Beautiful festive moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
And we're back on Open for Business. I'm Arvind Yuvraj, and my guests are Shafiq and Johan, the founders of Foul Boys. Some of you may have heard of them, some of you may have already tried their southern-style fried chicken and their chicken burgers, which is what we're talking about on today's show. But more than that, we're talking about starting a business in these weird times and actually growing that business the way Foul Boys has. So I'm quite curious about this. Like, obviously, you know, being on food delivery platforms is beneficial for you guys, but there's also the issue of, you know, from a revenue point of view, isn't it better to handle your own logistics? Like, were you definitely making more profits before than after being on food delivery platforms, because there's quite a big cut from the amount that you make, right?
Yes. I of course, delivery platforms do charge a rather high premium. But at the same time, when we looked at it on from a macro standpoint, it's that end of the day, we would need to run our own logistics, right? Let's say we have to hire our own people, hire our own riders. And the entire logistical process of that in its own is also a very, very tedious process, right? So as much as delivery platforms do take a larger margin, but what we have to do as, I guess, business owners is just to manage our costs to the best that we can, you know, finding the right suppliers, ensuring that our overheads are at the bare minimal, and just operating from a cost standpoint, to be honest.
So let's talk about your branding, because it's like, as you mentioned before, it is honestly on point. It's a bit cheeky. There's some innuendo, but it's still very playful and young and vibrant. How did you decide on that? Like I either view from a marketing background, or did you have to consult with a professional? Was it your own thing?
Yeah. So, you know, when we started this whole thing, I come from a marketing background. Mm-hmm. You know, I have probably 4 or 5 years experience there. So I place branding and marketing very highly in any business, right, when dealing with customers. So even though we decided to start as a business from home, we really went quite hard with the branding, just because, you know, a branding solidifies your product and also, you know, your business. You know, it gives people confidence. It gives people an idea of what, of who you are. So, you know, from the start, we, you know, because we were taking it from a very sort of casual, you know, starting place. So we didn't want to take ourselves too seriously. And that translates to the branding that we did. So, you know, we were R&Ding the names. Foulboys just stuck out to us as something that really, really kind of described who we were, you know, and also the fact that, you know, when we were talking about Southern Chicken, we also wanted to have, you know, like spicy options for our food. So that whole idea of it being foul, you know, and like, you know, the spiciness of our food can be quite foul, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and that also translates to, you know, how we name our products. You know, we're very cheeky. We love puns. So, yeah, I mean, we never really took ourselves too seriously in that sense. And, yeah, we were having fun with it, to be honest.
The fact that your bags say cluck off, right? So that's something that I thought was like very, very smart.
Exactly. That's actually the first thing that was just kind of like off the top of our mind. We're like, hey, we just need something to stamp on the bag. And, you know, I think it was either me or Joe. We're like, hey, how about something like cluck off? So that was the first sort of marketing material that we had. Yeah, before we even had the logo.
Does it mean that you guys have a target market, though? Because it is very, like I mentioned, it is very young. So is your target market sort of like younger millennial or Gen Z? Or is it like more of a family diner sort of thing?
It's actually a good mix of all the ones you mentioned. So our target age group is between 18 to like 35. But what we found from feedback from customers is that, you know, that, some customers ask us, oh, do you have anything for kids? So families, we do see a lot of customers ordering large amounts for, you know, for their whole family to enjoy. So even though our branding and marketing is directed towards, you know, your millennials, we find that the appeal of the food is actually quite universal.
Right. Okay. And most of your marketing is mostly via Instagram and word of mouth, right? And that's worked like pretty well for you guys.
Yeah, it's worked amazing, actually. Like, you know, when we first started, obviously we were only on Instagram. And we're lucky that, you know, we have very supportive friends and family who at the start, they were just ordering and posting up stories. And, you know, that kind of just snowballed. So their friends would order. And then we had, you know, some influencers or models or actresses order as well. And they would post up because, you know, MCO, everyone's at home. There's nothing to Instagram but food that you order, right? Mm-hmm. So that worked really well for us. And surprisingly, we didn't spend anything on Instagram ads until maybe 5-6 months down the road. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we're just able to grow our following organically. So that was pretty amazing for us.
So I want to expand on that, right? Because, you know, like some people say that the organic way is sort of like slower. But then you were saying that, you know, if like, you know, celebrities, influencers, even the Prime Minister at one point posted about you guys. So how much does that help? Like honestly, you know, when it comes to followers and getting attention and awareness?
I think it's really a mix of things that attributed to our organic success. You know, I mean, like I mentioned before, us being during MCO, when a lot more people were just posting on Instagram and especially food, right? That was a big thing during the MCO. So that accelerated our organic growth, I believe. You know, but I do think that to start off with, you do need an organic following because if it's not organic, you might not see the follow through later on. You know, when you have a real authentic following, you know, you essentially have people who are ambassadors for you. And, you know, and if you have a good product, you know, even better, it's something that they don't have any problem sharing with other people. And yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If I could just add to that as well, is that, you know, the organic route is definitely something that is much better for us. And how we kind of approach that for ourselves is by creating a closer relationship between the brand and our customers. You know, so we, in our early days when it was pre-orders, we not only would have follow-up messages to check in on how the food was, but also to check in how delivery was. And I think the closeness of how we built that relationship with our customers, in the end, it yielded to a stronger organic growth.
Got it. Couple of more questions. What kinds of challenges are you guys facing at the moment with Foulboys that you want to fix in the near future?
Right now, I would say there are two main challenges that we are currently facing. One is with the MCO rulings loosening up as the weeks go by, we are seeing a higher conversion in people dining out than they are dining at home now. Mm-hmm. So one challenge is definitely trying to figure out how do we stay prominent in the delivery market, but also figuring out how do we adapt a fair balance of dine-in customers at the same time. And I would say the other challenge would really be how we will look forward to kind of dealing with the logistics sides of things. Mm-hmm. You know, we see delivery platforms and these big players in the game like GrabFood, FoodPanda, and now Azure Food coming up. They are also innovating new ways of making the logistic process a lot smoother and a lot better for customers. And on our end, as much as we are the food providers, but we also need to be really aware and ahead of the game in the sense of how we can provide better logistics. And even from the point of packaging our food to working with delivery partners to ensure that delivery times are at the minimum, you know. So that's kind of what we're working on right now.
So we always talk about expansion to end the interview, and you guys are like really expanding with some big plans. So there's a physical restaurant. You can tell us about that, and what are your plans to grow this year and for the next couple of years?
So right now, we have one cloud kitchen that we're operating out of,
mm-hmm.
and yes, we are expanding to our flagship store / HQ in the coming months, and for that. It was the sole reason that in Malaysia, we've also realized that regardless of how virtual a brand may be, consumers develop better relationships with brands when there's a physical connection as well. So hence that our current expansion is on a flagship store. But to speak about what we will do in the next 2-3 years, if I'm being truly honest, it's still quite up in the air. Mm-hmm. We would like to have more kitchens throughout the Klang Valley so that we could make Foulboys a lot more accessible to everybody here. But in terms of how far we will go, how we're going to do it, that's something that I think we will also want to stay true to who we are as entrepreneurs, which is we also go with the flow and watch how the market works and then go from there.
Yeah, if I can just add on, me and Joe were talking about this as well. I think our sort of vision for Klang Valley especially is that if we're looking from it from a delivery standpoint, we want to be accessible to everyone in the Klang Valley within like a 5 to 7 km radius, you know. So if we were to plan expansion, it would be planned around that.
Initially, of course, our plan in the beginning was to just have multiple cloud kitchens or small kitchens, mm-hmm. to operate out of. But once, like I said, when we realized the importance of a physical connection to a brand, and also as demand grew, we thought, all right, might as well invest a little bit more to a bigger space that can cater to a larger audience at this current standpoint.
Johan, Shafiq, thanks so much for your time, guys.
Thank you so much for having us. It's been a
thanks
pleasure.
Thanks for having us, Arvin.
That was Johan Razali and Shafiq Saiful Azni, founders of Foulboys. You can find their brand of Southern Fried Chicken over at foulboyskl.com. You can also stream this interview again via podcast on the BFM website, the BFM app, Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you get your podcast from. This has been Arvind Yuvraj on Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.